Once upon a time, I had the perfect family. I had the perfect husband, handsome, loving, successful. I had the perfect children, Leslie and Leah, beautiful, brilliant, precious girls. I had the perfect life in the perfect home, in the perfect place. We were one of those sickeningly perfect families with matching monograms, the Lawtons, Lance, Lauren, Leslie, and Leah. The Lawtons of Santa Barbara, California. And then, as in all fairy tales, evil came into our lives and destroyed us. I remember when Leslie was small and loved to have us read to her. Fairy tales were the obvious choice. Our parents had read fairy tales to us when we were children. I remembered the books as being filled with beautiful pictures and happy endings. But fairy tales aren't happy stories. Only from a distance are they beautiful. In reality, they are dark tales of abuse, neglect, violence, and murder. Cinderella is held as a prisoner and treated as a slave in her own family home, abandoned by the death of her father to the physical and psychological torment of her stepmother and stepsisters. Hansel and Gretel are abducted by a sadistic maniac who holds them captive in the woods, fattening them with the intent of roasting them alive and cannibalizing them. Red Riding Hood goes into the forest to visit her elderly grandmother, only to find the woman has been savaged and eaten alive by a wild animal. These are fairy tales. So is my story. Leslie is our firstborn. Headstrong and charming, a little rebellious, she loved to dance, she loved music, loves music. Who would ever think a person could be tormented by the choice of verb tense? Past, present, a choice of little consequence to most people, that choice can bring me to tears, to the point of collapse, to the brink of suicide. Leslie was, Leslie is. The difference to me is literally one of life or death. Leslie is alive. Leslie was my daughter. My daughter went missing May 28, 1986. 4 years have passed. She has not been seen or heard from. I don't know if she is alive or dead, if she is or was. If I settle on the past tense, I admit my child is gone forever. If I grasp onto the present tense, I subject myself to the endless torment of hope. I live in limbo. It is not a pleasant neighborhood. I would give anything to move out, or at least to remove the pall of it from my soul. I crave some kind of cleansing, some kind of catharsis, an elimination of the toxic waste left behind in the wake of a bad experience. The idea of catharsis sparked me to begin this book. The idea that by sharing my experience with the world, the poison of these memories might somehow be diluted, was like throwing a lifeline to someone being swept away by the raging waters of a flood. The catch, however, is that I can't escape the torrent, no matter how strong that lifeline might be. I am the mother of a missing child. Writing just that much had exhausted Lauren. It had taken 6 hours to finish 3 pages, feeling as if she had to pluck and pull each word from the thick black tar of her emotions. She felt as if she had run a marathon and now needed to strip off her sweaty clothes and shower off the road grime. She saved her work, such as it was, to a floppy disk and shut down the computer. She and her younger daughter, Leah, had moved to Oak Knoll more than a month past. It had taken her that long to stop procrastinating and sit down in front of the computer, and still a part of her had risen up in panic, screaming that it was too soon, that she wasn't ready. Every day of her life was a constant struggle within herself between the need to move forward and the fear of it, between sympathy for herself and disgust at her need for it. The whole idea of this move was to retreat from the scene of all crimes in order to gain distance, both literally and figuratively. And with distance, perhaps would come some kind of perspective. She had the same hope for writing about what had happened, that through the telling of her story she would gain some kind of perspective and, If not peace, some kind of, what, calm, quiet, acceptance? None of those words really fit. They all seemed too much to hope for. Bump and Sissy Bristol, old friends from Santa Barbara, had embraced her idea, both of the book and of the change of venue, and had offered the use of their second home in Oak Knoll as a refuge. The Bristols were like family, like older siblings to Lance and Lauren, and godparents to the girls. Bump played the annual role of Santa Claus at Christmas and helped coach the girls' sport teams. Sissy was the fashion fairy godmother, who delighted in taking the girls shopping and treating them to manicures and pedicures.